UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
It's not immodest to say, because I essentially had nothing to do with it. I happen to just be the guy in this chair. But I know quality radio, and that was quality radio. That was spectacular. No, I mean, that's all Biscuit. It was all... And you know what?
Biscuit's awesome.
You know what makes it great? Is he's not only a bright guy, and he's an entertaining guy. He's also a tremendously sincere guy, and he's a good guy. And listen, I'm just telling you the truth. This is not aimed at anybody at our station, blah, blah, blah. But this is a business. Think about this. This is a business where, for a living, you have to feel, okay, I'm going to talk for 3 hours, and I've got so much interesting stuff to say that you're going to want to keep tuning into the program. That's a little messed up. I mean, if you did that in your house, the other people in your house would punch you in the neck. I mean, so, which happens in my house frequently.
I was going to say, you have, and yeah, we've tried.
Exactly. So, believe me, I can relate firsthand. But, so there's a lot of egos. It's a very odd, and it's also very fragile. I don't know why radio seems to attract fragile egos.
We're not people. Fragile.
Exactly. That's the perfect response. So, you know, it's one of those things that when you can find a guy, and he's good at radio, by the way. I mean, he's good. He was good on the air before he got sick. And he's such a nice, likable human being that it is, it's a great combination. And I'm very proud that I've gotten to know him a little better. He's been with us for a while, but he was always on Jason's show. I don't go do the caboose thing, you know, very much. So I didn't really get to hang out with him in those settings. And then when Jason left, he came on a couple times with us, and I was like, oh my God, this guy's fantastic. So God willing, again, knock the snot out of the wood here. We are hopeful that he'll be able to do that on a regular basis, and he won't have to just barge in and you know, have to state his business. He'll be a welcome, regularly scheduled, as they say in England, guest to the program. So there you go. So we got so many sports things I could have asked him as well, since he's so knowledgeable about football. EG, which means, for example, in writing, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? The ESPN analytics people. Don't get mad at me if you agree or celebrate. I mean, if you disagree or celebrate if you agree. They said they think it's a 70% chance he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. I don't even understand what that means, really. I mean, he's only going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame from his knees up or something? What does that mean, 70% chance you're either in or you're not in? So I guess you can say I understand it in a sense they mean it's more likely than not that he gets in, but it's not like Derek Jeter was way more than a 70% chance that he got in the Hall of Fame. So he's going to announce his retirement tomorrow, and it's going to be on television, and roughly 70% people at the analytics, it just came up, roughly 70%, so maybe it's a little more, a little less, I don't know, but that's what they're looking
do
at.
Do you... What camp do you fall into?
I'd really, honest to God,
Hall of Fame. Yes,
I would really have to look at it, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of things that I know just off the top of my head. You can make a case for him
being in. I mean, the two championships, the hugely big plays in pressure situations that he made. That throw in the Super Bowl was ridiculous. He should have been sacked, and the whole thing should have been done with
him. Tyree makes the crazy catch on the helmet.
Tyree catches it off his head, but just to get it down there. But it's also, he had a number of years that were downright awful, to be honest with you, and he had some very average years.
Locke was pontificating on this,
he doesn't think Jesus should be in the Hall of Fame, right? He thinks Jesus is just misses, so also eligible, right? So what did he say about this? Why did he tell you he shouldn't be in? I'd love to know the reasons.
Absolutely
without question. The data says he shouldn't be in. In fact, he shouldn't be allowed to go in the Hall of Fame. They should keep a picture by the door. Don't let that son of a blitch in, and if he comes in here, you call us. We'll call security and get him out. By the way, I think I can get around that if you say blitch.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure they can get us on
radio
that.
Skips.
Yeah, that's good.
Son of a blitch.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm not sure though. We have to check. Probably the FCC is going to say no. Sorry, nice try. You owe us $20,000.
But we hate you guys to begin with, even though you're hilarious.
So
no, he said basically that just what you said. Well, he actually was being pretty level headed on this one. I think you're basically putting him in for the two Super Bowls, and he's absolutely fantastic in the playoffs. He said, so you're basically taking a six-game sample size where he was admittedly very, very good in clutch, and you're using that to put him in there. Because besides that, there is one number that is impressive. I think he's top 10 all-time in passing yards, and I think that's impressive.
You know, except for that's another indication of longevity, though. He just played, and he played on some bad teams at the end, and what are you doing
also
when you're
true.
Behind? You're throwing the ball.
Also true.
So, I mean, I'm just being candid. I mean, and one of the reasons it's not good to ask is even though push comes to shove, and Biscuit will be happy about this, if they played in the Super Bowl, I'd root for the Jets. But as in any given year, they both stink. So if I get one good team out of the two of them, I'm thrilled. So I would, you know, I root for the Giants also. And so
to the chagrin of Andy.
I have an emotional connection there to say, listen, this guy won us two championships. Of course, put him in. So, That's a great line. We have some really bright
So mad.
Listeners.
I left my iPad
this
at home.
This one says.
I don't have the text actually,
sorry. Just didn't see where this was going. Actually, Lachlan thinks Jesus only got in because of his dad. So when push came to shove, what were you saying? He thinks he should be in?
No, he said that he thinks he will get in.
But he doesn't think he should. This way he could be right either way.
He doesn't deserve to be in. He wouldn't put him in, I think
perfect.
Is what he would say.
So it's perfect. So if he gets in, he gets to come on and say, I told you he was getting in. And if he doesn't get in, he says, see, I told you he was a Hall of Famer. That is, I love the guy. I really do like Lachlan. I really, really do. But that mine is, I'm like Mercury. You're going to have to just squash me into a corner to take a stand because I really believe the truth 99 times out of 100 is somewhere in the middle. And that's not good for sports radio. You're supposed to spew at the top of your lungs, heads is better than tails, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, but Locke loves to tell you why this is what should happen, but I wouldn't do it that way so that no matter what happens, he's right. That is a textbook Locke. I'm sorry.
He also said that
I don't think Calipari does a good job. They underachieve, but I'm telling you, what'll probably happen is they'll get to the tournament, and make a deep run. So he's right either way. They make a deep run.
Train of thought because I lost my train of thought because I wanted to play. He did kind of go back and forth. He said respectfully, he did. Respectfully disagreed with your take about how like the one possession games come down to luck.
It's not my take. Of all guys to disagree with that, he should be the one to embrace that. That's what the metrics people say, and they say it forcefully. They say it absolutely that there. If that weren't the case, you could. Here's the argument in a nutshell. If that weren't the case, you could go and pinpoint the one or two things that make you win close games. Work your ass off on those things in the preseason, and those teams would have significantly better numbers in one possession games than other teams. And they don't. They absolutely don't. So it's not me. I don't take it personally because it's not my point of view. I didn't do the research on it. But the metrics people absolutely say that when it comes down to one possession, it is more about luck than anything else. Now, if you're a good free throw shooting team and the opponent's not, in one possession games might you have an edge? Sure. If you're a better shooting team, if you're significantly better at any statistical area in one possession, you might, that one stat might win you the game. But it, you can't predict that. And that's the whole point. And because of that, you can't coach towards that. And if you can't coach towards that, then by definition, it's luck. And that's what they say. So I don't take it personally. But what's his argument that the numbers people are wrong of? This guy's always citing data and facts. Why would he? What's he taking issue with their data for?
I can go back and find the soundbite.
That's all right. Just summarize.
We could play that a little bit. But no, just because I want to put a bow on the Hall of Fame thing first. We kind of came to the consensus though that we both agreed that you know there's worse people than Eli in the NFL Hall of Fame, and then that goes into another whole discussion. It seems, well, I mean, maybe it's just because social media, everyone has an opinion, everyone has a take, and you get to hear all of those. But does it seem like the Hall of Fames are getting watered down a little bit just with everybody
Well, that's interesting. I don't think they're getting watered down, but I do think that for whatever reason, and you know, maybe it's a good thing, they were discussing, like, when you talk about Jeter, and I've said this, he should have been unanimous. Then we'll come back to this other thing, by the way, because Texter just did a good job summarizing what Locke said, and I get it. They're not mutually exclusive points, which I'll get to in a minute. But the Hall of Fame, whether we like it or not, writers back in the day were probably every bit the celebrities that the athletes were. And there was a lot of – they traveled on the same trains as the team, remember? They didn't fly. They took trains. They were on the train ride playing cards, in their own, and the players would be mingling with them. And there's very little question that a lot of the slights then were from a personal basis. That guy was a jackwad to me. That guy was a jerk. Some of it was racially related. Some of it had to do with any kind of an ethnic thing. They didn't like guys from the South. They didn't like guys from the North. They didn't like guys from the East. They didn't like guys from the West. I mean, that's the truth. And you know, and they were so self-important, the writers, they didn't apologize for it. They were just like, screw it. That's what I'm voting on. I think, fortunately, we've gotten past that a little bit. I think that most of the voters have a little bit more self-respect to the point where back then you could do that. And there was, I mean, think about, like, I listen to old radio games, and there's hardly any stats that they can give you. And the ones they give, the modern stat people would laugh at. They would give you his batting average, which most of them would say is the least significant offensive statistic they probably have. So they didn't have any stuff like they have now. So you could get away with it. Why didn't you put him in? I just don't think he was that good. Remember that game last week in Chicago when he struck out five times and cost them a game? He sucks. I mean, all right, well, great. Now it's hard because the people will send you a laundry list of things. Look, he's first all-time in this, second all-time in this, third all-time in this, first all-time in this. He's this, he's this, he's this. You're going to look at all that and say he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. So most of them say, all right, yeah, that's convincing, and they put him in. But the fact of the matter is, back then, they weren't so subjected to that. And so to your point, that's why I think that I would say Jeter should have been unanimous, because we've made precedent now with Rariano that said, yeah, we're going to put guys in unanimously. And if you're going to put him in unanimously, I mean, I just think the Jeter should have been in there. But the people who argue, I get their point. How Willie Mays is not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Ted Williams,
it's ridiculous.
Ted Williams.
I mean, really, all of them. Hank Aaron. It's ridiculous how they're not unanimous Hall of Famers. Not first ballot. They were all, a lot of them were first ballot. But they, you know, they were. That's absolutely the truth. That you know, if you're going to say that about Jeter, you know, you don't have to be slighting Jeter to say as great as he is. I mean, nobody's going to confuse him with Babe Ruth or Ted Williams, even for that matter. So, but given his the accomplishments of his team and his role in those accomplishments, and frankly, as a player, the way he carried himself, whatever he did in his private life, his business, but, you know, if it was his private life included, you know, killing puppies or punching women or something, no, I'm not suggesting that, but, you know, there was his womanizing is well documented and all that stuff. That's his business.
It's the old story. It would make for a great story.
Oh, that's the Babe Ruth.
Oh, that's Babe Ruth. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, but here's the point that Locke made, and I get this, and he's right about this, but that's not what the sabermetricians or the metrics people or I am saying. Locke's point was what leads up to that one possession at the end is not luck. So in other words, if you're in a situation where Nick's team should be 10 points better than I,
and my team, and it comes down to the game, and they've, you know, they squandered it away, and they've been, and then it winds up being a one possession game late. Well, that's not luck. It's because they sucked on that particular day, or they're not as good as people thought they were. There's some merit to both of those arguments, that they had a very bad day, or they're just not as good as you thought. But here's the argument. This is where they talk about it. They talk about it in a sense that people use it as a barometer for who's a good team. And that's what their argument is. Oh, that baseball team, they're really good because they're 15-5 in one-run games. No, it means they're very lucky. And same thing with coaches. They used to say, you know, Rick Pitino's stats in overtime games, for example, were not very good. And I used to say, not to defend him, but it was true. I said this before I knew that about his stats. Because that's luck. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And so that's what they're talking about, is if you take a sheet and say, oh, look at this guy, he's 13-7 in overtime games, that guy's a genius. Not really, he's lucky. Because, you know, to be that, to have that record in overtime is out of proportion to what it should be, basically, because statistically it says it's a toss of the coin. And that's the way they mean it. Oh, that guy's a brilliant manager. They were 16-5 in one-run games. Oh, that means they're incredibly lucky. But the point about whether, you know, making it a one-possession game, maybe you didn't play as well as you should, you underachieved, you had a particularly bad day, you're not as good as we thought. No, that's valid. But but that's not the same thing. That's not what they meant. They meant that once it gets to that one-possession game, deciding it and your record in those games is not a reliable barometer of who's good, who's quality, who's a good coach, who's a good manager. That's not really true. This is always the debate you have. And it's, to me, it's a legitimate one. Going back to Eli Manning, Texter says, Eli really had two careers, one where he had surrounding talent, one where he had very little talent around him. How can you separate the two and decide Hall of Fame membership? I don't have the answer for you on that. That's what you got to decide. That's always the debate. Like the year, what was his name? Andre Dawson won the National League MVP award and played for the last place team, the Cubs. And people were irate. And I don't think you'll see that anymore. Whether you think that's right or not, the people have kind of settled on the thought that you don't have to be a pennant winner or a first place team, but you got to be on a winning team. You got to be a really good team player on a winning team. If you're on a terrible team, you can't be that valuable. And the reason behind that is kind of the story of the home run hitter back in the 50s, Ralph Kiner. Might have even been in the 40s. I don't remember. I guess it was the 40s and 50s. And he pounded a whole bunch of home runs and got into a contract dispute with the Pirates for whom he was playing. Branch Rickey was running the Pirates at the time, and he was holding out, and Branch finally got fed up with him, and he said, Ralph, listen, dude. He didn't say dude in the 50s. He said, listen, we finished in last place with you. We can finish in last place without you. That's why it's hard to say, well, how else valuable is that guy? They were terrible with him, so what kind of a difference would it have made? Instead of being 40 games out of first place, they'd be 55 games out maybe, but is that worthy of an MVP? Most people now don't think it is. So, but, you know, that's how you weigh up when a guy has been a part of winning teams. When you're doing a career, you're talking about some good teams, some bad teams, and you know, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't think there's a definitive answer. I don't think the Hall is thoroughly convinced on that, to be honest with you. I think that's why he'll be a guy that there's a lot of debate about, because the people who will look at those subpar years, you could say, yeah, he didn't have a lot of talent around him, but they weren't very good. He wasn't very good. For whatever reason, the simple fact is he wasn't very good. And then the other people will say, yeah, well, he wasn't very good because they weren't very good. The linemen couldn't block anybody, had no time to throw. So, I mean, that's... there's your debate right there, Pally. There, I got your debate right here. Here's your debate right here. I don't think they say that in the Hall, although it would be entertaining if they did, I think. You know what else is entertaining? Buying quality jewelry at our friends at Genesis Diamonds. Other jewelers don't want you to go to Genesis because they're meanies. That's not really true. It's because they know if you do, it's game over. Because Genesis is in a class by itself. It's just a different experience all around. A, largest selection, period. Massive diamond inventory, and not just any diamonds. GIA certified diamonds from the world's top designers, brands that other stores aren't even allowed to carry, including Tacori, Verragio, dozens more. Premium designer rings. And then the value. You get a premium designer ring, but you think, oh, it's probably going to cost me an arm and a leg. No, no. The diamonds come straight from the diamond cutters. Their ability to cut out the layers of middlemen means you're guaranteed to get a bigger, better quality diamond for less. And then this is really cool. Genesis stands behind everything with a free lifetime warranty. No charge ever for sizing, cleaning, routine maintenance. We've gone through this with them a bunch of times, and it's always with a smile. They say, absolutely, leave that ring here. We'll take care of it for you. Other jewelry stores charge you for stuff like that. Genesis is happy to do it for free. And don't worry about any pressure, because the salespeople are not on commission. They are just diamond experts who care about you and making sure that your experience is a great one. So they're here to guide you, help you make the right decision. Genesis Diamonds, the official jeweler of the Kentucky Wildcats and the Louisville Cardinals. 2020 is here. Make this new decade get off to a great start with a wonderful, beautiful piece of jewelry and a diamond, a big, beautiful diamond from Genesis Diamonds. Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Here's a commercial break.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Yeah, this is why you can't win. This is why you can't win. I'm not me. I have no skin in the game. It's just an observation. ESPN last year promoted Zion Williamson to the point where some people were ready to vomit on their televisions. Okay, I mean, that's all I hear is Zion this, Zion that, Zion, 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 which led to two schools of discussion. One, he's not that good. I'm not even sure he's the best player on the team. I think, you know, the kid that the Knicks got.
R.J. Barrett.
Barrett. He's a better player.
Yeah, they were saying he was the most turnkey ready pro. Cam Reddish had the highest
ceiling.
Please,
please, please. I'm wrong. I was wrong about the kid at Atlanta. Trae Young. When I admit when I'm wrong, I am going to be proven right about Williamson if he doesn't get hurt. He is a transcending talent. He is that good. So, but again, we'll see. Could be wrong. He only played one game, 17 minutes. Let's not lose our minds. But I feel confident that if he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be one of those, for a generational kind of talents, right? But that was that. He was overrated. And the other one was, I know he's good, but they're killing us with all this discussion about him. I'm sick. You know, there are other good players out there, okay? Then we get to this year, and you get people who I greatly respect, like Pat Forty, saying, this product sucks this year. There's no great players and no great teams. make your mind up. What do you want? When you got a great player, a generational kind of talent, you get mad that they promote the hell out of him, and then when he's not there the next year, you say, "Oh, you know what? This is a bad season. This is a bad product." I mean, you can't. You can't win. What I would tell you is, I thought they were a little over the top of the promotions because I love the game, and I would look and say, "Boy, there's some really other good players out there." But having said that, they're going to be proven two things. One, they don't have to explain to me or you or anybody else. The numbers backed it up. When you put Zion on the television set, eyeballs are on that television set. Same thing with Tiger. No, all we talk about is Tiger. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. He's just all we hear about is Tiger. That's because they're in the TV business. And there's many more eyeballs on that television set when Tiger's swinging the golf club than when the other players are. Like it or hate it, that's the fact. Well, same thing with Zion. But having said that, last night, he did something that has not been done in the NBA by a rookie in the last 20 seasons. He scored 17 points in the fourth quarter in a row. He scored 17 points. If you didn't watch it, it was unbelievable. He made 4 3-pointers in the space of 2 minutes and 34 seconds. He never made more than 3 in a game at Duke, where the line is much closer. He made 4 last night. I'm telling you, Mike told me the kid is a hard worker, he's coachable, and he has that Lamar factor. You watch him, it's very, very difficult to think he's not loving playing the game. And fans can relate to that. They like that. So that's I factored that in. Yes, that's what makes a guy a generational kind of player. He brings a joy to playing the game. 17 minutes last night. And had numbers that would have been incredibly impressive for a rookie anyway. No matter what, in his first NBA game, no matter how many minutes he played, it would have been impressive. But to do it all in 17 minutes
was rather remarkable. He had, this was the line last night. They lost. They lost to the Spurs 121-117. You know, not enough to get them over the hump. But he had, in 17 minutes of play, shot 8 for 11, had 7 rebounds, and had 3 assists. He made 5 turnovers. That's what you expect out of a rookie. But the other stuff you don't. 22 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 for 4 from the three-point line. And the kid loves to play. I mean, it's just, it is, he's going to be
it was everything
spectacular.
I dreamed of, except for the losing part.
Attaboy's on. Ding, give him the bell. Ding.
It's the energy the crowd brought.
Yep.
Ding. The energy the city brought.
Appreciate the fans.
Ding. It was electric. And, you know, I'm just grateful that they
grateful.
Did that.
Ding.
So, it was a dream come true to dream finally get true. Out
Ding.
There, but at the end of the day, I did want to win, so I'm going to look the next game.
Wow, man, just ringing up the dingers. He's going to be fun. I hope he stays healthy. He's got that big, thick body, and sometimes that puts a pounding on your legs. But, man, he's fun to watch. I mean, he was posting guys up. They threw him lobs. He was hitting threes. He handles the ball. He's a spectacular passer. He's a really good passer. And he loves to play. You can see the teammates don't resent anything about him. It's like, dude, welcome aboard. Very cool.
He said this after the game that, you know, when he was kind of banged up, he didn't really have much else to do at times but shoot. Do you think this had anything to do with him going crazy last night?
I'm going to just say, when you're not able to move around, do athletic movements for a while, and the only thing you can do is just shoot, spot up jumpers, I guess that was a result of that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, well, that and the fact that he was, you know, he's so big, he can probably shoot that as a set shot, which is what he's doing. He doesn't really jump. He just, but also because I'm quite certain that teams scouting him said, look, the guy only made 3 threes in a game like 1 or 2 times at Duke. Get off him. And so they stayed back from him, and he could have shot it underhand, and nobody would have blocked it. So, you know, really, I like the kid tremendously. I got to see him so much from doing the ACC games. I love people who love to play. I talked about that on the show many times, and he's fun to watch. I like guys who want to pass the ball. He's willing to pass the ball. So, boy, this guy will not let it go. This guy's convinced. And if you believe this too, more power to you. Louisville's free throw shooting, a paragraph after paragraph, and he's telling them not only that they should be better shooting free throws, but he's going to give them the answer how to do it. Tape your index finger and your thumb together and shoot. Dude. There are guys out there that make a living going to pro camps to teach free throw shooting. If it were that easy, everybody would be shooting 85%. I'm just telling you. You know, you sound like Rick Barry. Rick Barry's convinced.
I was about to say, was that who's?
If everybody shot it underhand, Rick Barry's convinced they would shoot 85%. Can you get better at it? Certainly, but is it that simple? And you know, and what I say, what I always say, if it were that simple, these guys have almost unlimited resources. By your definition, everybody who played in the NBA is a failure then, because they don't shoot 80% from the free throw line. Most of the NBA players don't shoot 80% from the line. Go look at the Hall of Fame. So. Does that make sense to you? And if it's so simple, I don't know what you do for a living. And of course, he doesn't answer that. But if Chris, you know, if Chris Mack came on the show and you called, and I don't know, you're a pipe fitter, and Chris, let me tell you the secret to pipe fitting. You'd say, what a horse's ass this guy is. So, but coaches, no, you know more than they do. So whatever, sir, I'm not going to convince you. That's fine. And the other thing that you don't take into account is you're talking about if you spend, you know, the amount of points, that if they spend 30 more percent time shooting free throws, then they would shoot them better. And he goes through a formula to show how many points. You know what? You are allowed 2 hours on the practice floor a day, and you got to take a day off a week. And if you take that extra 30 minutes to shoot free throws like you want them to, you might lose 10% of your efficiency offensively. Or 15% defensively. So you make up 3 points in free throws, you give up 6 points in efficiency. So it's not that simple. I'm not suggesting. And by the way, if you don't think they practice free throws, then you're again, I don't know, I can't help you. Because, I mean, they do. I mean, I'm sensitive to this, not because I'm defending the coaches, just because I like to be common sense. And I'm always cognizant of that.
Tony La Russa told me, I told you that story many times, but it's true. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't being nasty. But we were talking. I have a radio show. I mean, I did coach, but, you know, the other coaches can, doesn't matter what level, you can relate to coaches. But radio guys is always a little skeptical, like, let's see who this asshat is. And so we're talking, and he wound up by the end of the day, I kind of won him over. And we were talking, and he said, the one thing I don't understand about your business is it doesn't strike you as in any way odd. I'm not a dumb guy. He's got a law degree. This is all I do for a living. And you're going to get on the radio in 2 hours, tell me all the crap that I should do better with my team, take a commercial break, and then come back and cure all the problems of the NFL team. It's just, I mean, does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. He's right. It doesn't. I mean, unless you think that everybody but you is a complete jackwad, that's why. And I just, I'm very cognizant of listening to what people say and the way they say it. You know, the guys who do the... You know what he's got to show me? Really? He's got to show you. You host a radio show. You host a 3-hour radio show, a 2-hour radio show. You think they're in their office saying, well, I don't know, by golly, we really got to show that Joe Jablonski. Who's Joe? He's got the afternoon show on the Zone, on the Fan, on the, you know, we, God, if we don't play better, that guy's going to be, we really got to show him something. He's waiting to see something. You know, Coach Johnson, get on the phone with him and tell him, what would he like to see us do? I mean, come on. It's just, it's silly. It's just a little silly.
I'm not taking umbrage with.
Oh, I like umbrage.
Right, that's a good term. We definitely played. We had a translator Teresa read a definition on the midday rush about the term listless because that got brought up in the press conference last night. But are they allowed to go to open gym and shoot? I don't know what the
practice is. Sure they do, and that's the thing. They do. These guys are in there all the time. It's unbelievable. I mean, you go by the complex, they're in there all the time. The problem is, and it's a legitimate, not problem, but if you're going to have them shoot them like they would in a game, then you better exhaust them. They'd have to go at 8 in the morning, run themselves ragged, go from jumping, running, diving, getting a guy just elbowed you in the neck, and now you got to go shoot a free throw. Do you really want them to do that at 8 in the morning and then come back and practice at 4 in the afternoon? So a texter says it exactly right. Shooting free throws in a gym by yourself has almost nothing to do with shooting them in a game with thousands of people watching in person and tens of thousands watching on television. Plus, you're tired and you're exhausted. I mean, it would be, it's like comparing a guy who shoots rifle for a living. I mean, you know, he's on a rifle team with a guy who shoots in biathlon, where he's got a cross-country ski, then lay on his belly in the snow. Well, why can't he shoot like the other guy? Well, because the other guy's standing there stationary in a nice climate-controlled compound. This guy's been skiing up and down and left. I mean, he can hardly breathe. I mean, that's what it is. It's just, it's crazy. It's just, it's a silly. Is there a time when you don't take the side of a coach or referee? Yes, when the criticism of them is logical. What do you want from me? It's not logical. I mean, that's the whole point. Stop just looking at it. Oh, I'm sorry. This guy just likes to rip all of us. He sent locked stuff, so I'll let it go. But I can't help you. If you come on and say stuff, I mean, if I came on and said, you know, caller, identify yourself. What do you do? I am I'm a real estate appraiser. Oh, let me tell you. Real estate appraising. You know what you need to do in real estate appraising? You got to get a good ladder. I mean, if you don't have a good ladder, I don't know how the hell you're doing your job. Do you have a ladder? I don't need a ladder. Oh, you don't need a ladder. I mean, you're special. You don't need a ladder for real estate appraising. You're telling me? I'm telling you. You need a ladder. Invest $50. And the guy would be saying to himself, who is this asshat? But when you do it the other way, I'm not allowed to point out that it's silly. It's just silly. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if you want to make general, you know, say, boy, I wish Chris played more zone. All right, I'll have a discussion about that. Not that I think he should, but I can't argue that. That's your opinion. That's a legitimate opinion. They don't play zone. So if you like zone, say, listen, the way the game is played right now, I think it'd be better. The three-point line's moved out, play zone. Okay. But to come in and imply like the guy doesn't practice free throws or it's that easy, you're going to snap your fingers and solve the free throw problems. I mean, there are multi-billion dollar franchises out there that have guys shooting 58% from the line. Do you think they're stubbornly saying, but we're not going to spend another $5,000 to get an expert in here who's going to tape our guys' fingers together, and next week, voila, they're going to be Jerry West. I mean, of course they do that. It's just silly. I'm trying to be gentle about it because it's not my point to ridicule, but it's silly.
So yes, I'll be happy to discuss referees or coaches when there's meat on the bone. But you know, it's the same thing as the discussion that I had earlier in the show. Well, they didn't play well. Okay, now put that into context. Why didn't they play well? What are you seeing that you didn't think they played well? And what does that mean in the big picture? I certainly will agree they did not play well in the first half last night. So my takeaway from that is the reason they didn't play well is the things that we talked about on the show yesterday that were keys to the game. They did none of them. They did none of them. Georgia Tech's going to turn the ball over. That's what they do. They average 17 turnovers a game. You've got to turn those turnovers into points. In the first half, terrible job there. You've got to play good defense and give them a bad shooting percentage and get clean rebounds and run because Louisville's best offense has been transition. They gave up 61% shooting in the first half. And they're a much better rebounding team statistically than Georgia Tech. They got out-rebounded badly in the first half. They didn't do any of those three things. So I can tell you that's what I saw when I say they didn't play well. Now, to me, what's significant is, do you think they're not capable of doing those things? If you don't, fine. That's your opinion. I think they are. And what I would suggest is that they were, as evidenced by the second half. They took an 11-point deficit, turned it into an 11-point lead. And how did they do it? By all those things I just described to you. They took the field goal percentage defense from 62% to 33%. They took the turnovers, of which Georgia Tech made, guess what? 17, right on their average. And they started finally to turn those into points. They had 13 points off turnovers. Georgia Tech only had 7. A lot early in the game, they were behind in that category. And they still got out-rebounded by 1, but their second-chance points were 15. Tech's were only 9. Those were 3 stats that were completely flipped early in the game. So I think they're capable of doing those things. So my assessment is that, you know, what I thought before is they're a team that has a chance to make a deep run. You know, I know he's a really nice guy. He really is, Josh Pastner. And so you can say, oh, he's just being polite. But, coaches unsolicited love to tell me that they really think that this team is really, really good. So, and this is what they do for a living. I know, again, you know, you as an arc welder probably know more than they do. But I'm sorry, I just have to be a little bit, tiny, tiny bit sarcastic because if I heard those things, and believe me, coaches talk. I mean, if they say a program is, you know, has got some problems, I'm hearing behind closed doors, they'll talk. I mean, that's one of the things you do when you get to do, you know, covering the games. The coaches I know and trust, they would tell me things knowing I'm not going to go on the air with them because they don't want to be on the record of saying, Coach so-and-so says that this team is a complete train wreck. They don't do that, but they will share. Boy, I've heard they got some problems. Boy, they're really looking at some trouble here. I mean, so, but they all say, man, this team, they play hard. They got great athletes. They got enough shooters. They really defend. They think Chris is a good coach. I'm just telling you what they say. That's all I'm saying. And I think that nothing that I've seen, even in the close wins, contradicts that because the other teams are playing these games and losing those close games. So they're in first place by themselves in the league. The first half was not good last night. But the things that made it not good are not things they're incapable of doing. I mean, if they had a game where you think, for example, I love this team, but they just can't rebound. And then you look, and in the first half, they're losing because the other team killed them on the glass, you know, 41 or, you know, 21 to 9 or something, and the second chance points are 12-2. Then you say, well, I'll tell you, you know, I know they came back in the second half, but that's a problem. There are going to be teams that are going to exploit that. The only thing I think that's exploitable for Louisville is the two things that they are working and getting better at, but they know it. Their half-court offense tends to be pedestrian right now. It's not that hard to defend. Their main, when they look good offensively, it's when they get a chance to run. And they know it, and they're running. And the other thing is, as much as we love the new guys, and David is worth loving, he's a special talent, they can't guard that well. And if you didn't know what they were doing last night, Georgia Tech, knowing, and as a lot of teams do, that Louisville was going to switch everything, except for the screen between a center and a point guard, they ran a lot of ball screens with the 1 through 4. And what they did is they had the guy set the screen on the guy that they wanted to attack, and then they let, you know, usually Alvarado or DeVoe come off that screen, and then they had the matchup they wanted.
And then they basically just put other people on the floor where they wanted them. Like Banks would get on the opposite side and plant his butt on that low block. And, you know, if the shot came from the left side, then he knew the rebound was going to come to the right side. He was a load to move out of there. And then they would just try and play downhill on those guys. And they went by David a lot. You know, they took advantage of that, probably more than anybody. And they've seen teams do that to Ryan at times. So, you know, that's what they've got to work around. They've got to understand who's on the floor. And the other thing is they're going to have to change their lineup based on what the situation calls for. And the situation called for increased defense at the stretch. They had an 11-point lead. And who did he play? He played Darius and he played Fresh. And those guys, Darius's defense was the one guy start to finish that was very good. He was fighting over screens. He wouldn't give Alvarado the time of day. He was the only guy smart enough to sit on DeVoe's left hand. DeVoe took it right into him a couple of times, and he just took the ball away from him. So, I mean, you know, and that's what it's going to take. But also, you know, when they needed a basket, they ran an – I don't know if it's a new set, but we haven't seen it because they haven't had this combination much. They had David set a back screen for Jordan, and Jordan went to the wing. It was a flare screen. The ball was high in the middle of the floor. Jordan flared to the wing, and then the guy who's got the ball, it's like a little, you know, run-pass option thing for football. He's got to read the end, and he's looking at the guy who's guarding Jordan, and if the guy guarding Jordan helps to the middle where David is, throws it to Jordan, and Jordan can shoot a three. If the guy goes out with Jordan, and quite honestly, 80 to 90% of the time they're going to do that, because what is their game plan? Their game plan is don't let that guy beat us. He can heat up behind the arc. So he runs out on Jordan, and they throw it to David at the right elbow, and he turned and faced the basket and just put on a basketball camp clinic. Jab, step, fake, up to dribble, two dribbles, high off the backboard, scores. Nice. So they're going to get better at that. They're going to definitely get better at that. And that's what I'm looking at there. Nick wants me to do reads, but unless I get a sip of some sort of beverage, it's going to be a hack fest. Here we go.
Could also maybe ask you a...
Nope, now you want me to do reads. Oh, I'm all liquided up.
Well, I really just came on there, so there wasn't dead air.
Thank you. Hey, you know what else you can do? You can get yourself out of the credit card debt that you got yourself in buying all those great Christmas presents, although you didn't really need the toaster that plays all of ABBA's greatest hits. But still, if you charge
I want Dancing Queen with my waffles.
Yeah, who can blame you? If you're thinking about those high-interest credit cards you used over the holidays and the bills that are coming, here's an idea to ease your mind. Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. Want to take a guess at what the interest rates are for the average credit cards? They're over 20%. They're 3.5 times that of what you'd pay. Why would you want to do that? Why do you want to pay the credit cards companies all your interest? And not only that, you only have one payment. So if you have two credit cards, three credit cards, you consolidate them all, bang, and one payment, done. You're saving money, and it's a lot more convenient. And you can say, oh, yeah, well, that's great, but I'm sure there's fees. No, no, no. No fees, none. No application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no pre-penalty payments, nothing. No prepayment penalties would be the right way to say that. None of those things. The application is quick and easy. You can do it right over your phone because LightStream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Here's a way you can save even more money. Get this discount, a special interest rate discount, by going to lightstream.com/Falvano. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Valvano. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Falvano for more information. Every year we go through this discussion, and I'm in the minority. I understand that. But I also am still not quite sure that I'm wrong. The Pro Bowl makes me nervous.
I was literally just about to ask
tackling guys.
Are you excited to see Lamar?
No, I'm not because, I mean, nothing good
can
happen.
Well, tonight's the skills
competition. That's fun. And you know what they should do? Although I also understand this point. Let me tell you what they should do and then tell you why I can argue against myself. They should play 7-on-7 passing. with flags, like flag football. And then you'd say, what about the linemen? There should have to be one lineman who's an eligible receiver on every play.
That'd be awesome.
And
see
let,
some of the
chubby
guys
big boys,
score.
Let the big boys. They would love it. I can't believe these guys really want to go out there and hit each other. It's not the kind of game. The NHL came to terms with it. The NHL was like, this is not hockey if we're not checking each other. In the old days, as sad as it may be, they were, you know, getting the NHL players to hit each other because they paid them. The winners got more money, and none of those guys made a lot of money. Now, are you
kidding
me?
That was insane. I remember watching an old All-Star game. They were out for blood.
And
like,
here's what I'm saying.
Each other. It's like, whoa.
I'm watching the things they're going to do tonight. I much prefer this than the game. The dodgeball game, the skills competition, these are great athletes, and they're trying. They're competing. They're having fun. The argument is, well, you can get hurt just as easily doing a flag, you know, flag football. A guy plants his foot and cuts, he gets hurt, yes. But I think it's a lot less likely you're going to be concussions and those kinds of things. So I would prefer to see that. I really would. And especially make it fun. Come on. Wait a minute. You know what? Does anybody remember who's won any of these games? Like the history behind it? Let the linemen play, you know, as eligible receivers. I think that'd be great. 7-on-7, and one of them has to be a lineman at all times or a non-offensive skill position player. Let him get in there for some rotation. Maybe two. Maybe there's got to be two each play. I don't know. But make it so that everybody's involved. I'm not so sure that, you know, one series there has to be a non-quarterback who's the quarterback. Like, a guy, you got to use a lineman as the quarterback. That would be, I mean, some fun. You know, I think that would be great. I mean, because look what they're doing right now. They're using all these fans are doing the fan fest, and they're doing the skills, and they're doing the kicking and stuff. Why not let the players have some fun with this? They would have a ball, and I'd rather see that than worry every time Lamar goes around the corner at somebody's, you know, and I know they don't blitz, and I know they don't really hit each other like they used to, but I don't, you know, I just, the NHL said, look, you can't play this game without really hitting each other. Let's make it fun. Let's do some other things. And the skills competition is fun. A 7-on-7 would be great. And let the chubby guys get in there and throw and catch. And I think you'd have yourself a quality entertainment.
I just found some great Super Bowl sound, but we're out of time, so I'll play it tomorrow. But speaking of the Super Bowl.
Speaking of that, which we can't say because you'll notice it's not in the ad.
Well,
the stage is set for the really big game. Gator Bowl's already done. I don't know.
That lawn bowling game that we saw the guy take the great shot. That was incredible.
It's called bowls. I want to play now, don't you? Yeah, those balls are not round bocce
they're
balls.
Like,
they're weighted
like
to curve.
Like a puck and a bocce ball at a baby.
It's like taping two. Yeah, kind of.
Well, with weights.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, if you've not seen the shot, I mean, Barstool Sports said, give this guy all the awards in any category. It's an incredible shot. And you know what? It got me interested. I went and watched it. It's on YouTube, and they're streaming it live. And it's fun to watch, but it's called bowls. It's lawn bowling. It's a version of every country's got a version of the game. It's like bocce. You roll the small ball, and you got to get the big balls closest to it. But the shots these guys make are nothing short of spectacular. I don't know if you can bet on that, but you can bet on damn near everything else at DraftKings Sportsbook, which is America's top-rated sportsbook app. It's the place to get all your big-game bets in. Head to the app right now and check out all they have to offer, including countless prop bets, football squares. People have a lot of fun with that. Plus, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. And to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss this. How do you get it? Well, first off, number one, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code WHBE. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Don't forget, that's code WHBE. Get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. You went much too early on the music. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. This is legal. I have to read all this, so the music's going to end, and I'm going to still be reading. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Now we're done, and you're pointing at me to say goodbye and step aside so that Andy can come in and do our radio program.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.